I'm very happy with the progress that we have made as a country. First, I think it was good of us to stipulate in the Constitution of the Republic of Botswana that gender equality is recognized. That has really helped us to go for any legislation that sought to discriminate women. In 2008, I remember, we did the marital power abolition, and the effect of that was to ensure that married women, they are able to make decisions about their well-being without having to make reference to their husbands as it was the case before.
What grade or what score do you think the women of Botswana would give the government?
It's a very difficult one. Difficult one because there's a grey area that we also have noted as government, that is the women representation in politics. But otherwise, women are very happy with what we are doing. The women economic empowerment programs have really benefited a lot of women, especially in the rural areas. The poverty eradication has also benefited almost 80% of our women in the rural areas. Women in decision-making positions outside politics, we have done very well. Our attorney general is a lady, the bank governor is a lady, the speaker of the National Assembly is a lady.
But having said that, the political parties are scoring very low in terms of women representation in parliament. Less than 10% of all MPs are women. Why is that?
This is one area that is of concern to us as well, especially the Minister of Labour and Home Affairs like myself, who is responsible for gender. The idea is that there's no law that says women should not participate in politics. The expectation has always been that when parties go for their primary elections, in our situation, there are 57 constituencies. And if I were to refer to my own political party, when elections gets near, anybody who is interested in standing for a constituency would show. And if there are a number of people who are interested, they would go for what we call primary elections. So that route has proved to be very difficult for our women, because women have got a lot of, a variety of roles to play. And also the political arena is quite rough as well. So it looks like we have to go the route of transforming our electoral system, because it's really of concern to us, especially that women are more than 50% of the population of that country.
Now, Botswana is in many ways a very traditional society. How difficult has it been to persuade men that gender equality makes sense?
What we did was to focus our attention on dealing with the traditional leaders. Traditional leaders, because in Botswana we're having the dual legal system where we have the common law and the customary law. So the traditional leaders, the customary law is the one that really was suppressing women. And so what we did was to get hold of all these traditional leaders together, put the case before them. We had a whole week, and at the end of that week, there was a change of mindset. And I can tell you, only last year, the traditional leaders agreed on a national action plan to implement what they thought would be good in their efforts to mainstream gender into the customary law system. It has been difficult, but we are getting there. And the other thing that is really making the whole thing easy is that while in the past we have had the traditional leadership dominated by men, of late we have got women as well as chiefs and what if. So it's doing good for us.
Despite the progress you've made, gender-based violence is still a huge problem in Botswana, isn't it?
Indeed it is. Around 2012, in order for us to appreciate the magnitude of the problem, we had a gender-based violence indicative study. And that pointed to us that the prevalence rate was at 67%, which is quite high. But we are happy that we are able to come up with that study, because from that study, we are able now to come up with policies which are well informed about the magnitude of the problem, and also our programs are really well targeted towards ensuring that we remove the problem as much as we possibly can.
As a man, what challenges do you face being a minister with responsibility for gender issues?
As a man talking for women, I tend to make some impact. I'll tell you this. The department that is dealing with this area in my country used to be referred to as the Women's Affairs Department. With my superintendence, with my guidance, as time went on, men came on board. And now they said, The first thing you should do, Minister, is to change that name to Gender Affairs so that we are all taken on board. Because for as long as you keep on saying Women's Affairs, it's like it's a no man business. And therefore, that really helped a lot. We have since have established what we call the men's sector. This is a group of men who would really be upfront in championing the mindset that there should be equity in gender in that country. And this men's sector has been all over the country. It is making a lot of an impact, and it is very helpful. So I would say, in a way, it is an advantage to have a ministry responsible for gender being a man.